Welcome. This is So Much More Than Gender. Hi, this is your host, Aaron Swenson, and this is the very first episode of So Much More Than Gender. Welcome. And we're going to be spending a little time today talking about the series and what we're going to be doing, how I came to this idea. But very first, let's do a little music.
It's a little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's a little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's a little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May we know that together. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hold on a minute. That was right pitiful. I know you New Yorkers got some more energy. We are affirming ourselves, folks. Please do it beyond a whisper. Let me hear you now. There's a little light of mine. There you are. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine a little light of mine.
Thanks to the beautiful and inspiring sounds of Odetta and the people of New York. We'll have more about this song later on, but first, a little personal history. I was in the sixth grade, and due to a school fire, my two younger sisters and I were attending split sessions. I was in the morning session, and they were in the afternoon. Since both our mom and dad worked, it was the first time I had ever spent significant amounts of time at home alone. The eerie quiet of the house wasn't frightening to me. Rather, it seemed to inspire strange feelings that led me one day to something that changed my life. First, I checked all the doors to make sure they were securely locked and I was safe. Next, I went into the powder room adjacent to the bathroom, closed and locked that door as well, even though I was the only person in the house. Next, I went into the bathroom and pulled off two wads of tissue from the roll, using my hands to form them into two equal balls, and placed them under my t-shirt where a woman's breasts would be. Then I looked at myself in the mirror. A feeling washed over me. It was a blend of awe, desire, fear, and then shame. Something clicked, and it would follow me every day for decades. I wanted to grow up to be a woman. I wanted my body and my world to be like the girls in the seventh grade who were in the first buds of adolescence. There was nothing confusing or unclear. It was simply what I wanted, and the thought was present every waking moment. And it invaded my sleep. I began to have a recurring dream about an enchanted path that led from boyhood to girlhood. My dreams were variations of traveling the road. Sometimes I would know where I was headed and sometimes not. There would be a point of no return where any change would be inescapable and permanent. I would return home as a girl and no one would notice anything different. I would just be a girl like my two younger sisters. I would be happy. Problem was that I was living in a pretty normal middle-class family in suburban Atlanta, Georgia, in the mid-1950s. I had never heard of anything like this. Instinctively, I knew it had to be kept from everyone. It would be my secret, and I would do nothing to betray my desire. This worked until I got to church. Mount Vernon Presbyterian was a little church about four blocks from our house. Mom and Dad would send me and my two sisters off to walk there for Sunday school, and they caught up with us for church. There was a theme to what I learned at Mount Vernon. It was that God knows everything about me, even my deepest secrets. A terrifying idea for a little boy like me. But also that God loves me unconditionally, secrets and all. The children's song I learned in kindergarten, "This Little Light of Mine," grew to become an anthem for me. It comforted me and challenged me at the same time. Letting my light shine was an affirmation of value, a recognition that my life was important, but it was also a question. Was my terrible secret part of my light? How could I be asked to share that with such frightened energy? Church, particularly Mount Vernon Presbyterian, became a refuge for me. A refuge that carried me all the way through adolescence and into adulthood, marriage, and also parenthood. In all of this, I could hear a call to ministry in the little light that was mine, and became a Presbyterian minister, and then a pastoral counselor and a psychotherapist. Life was good. Even the premature birth of our second child and the resulting multiple disabilities didn't tarnish the great life we had. Days of parenthood, hours of challenging counseling, preaching about a searching faith, and more should have provided a sense of satisfaction, a sense of satisfaction that never came to me. For years, I would encourage my patients to seek and express authenticity in all the while knowing that my own light remained under the proverbial bushel. All of my work, all of my relationships became infected with the idea that I was an imposter. I lived with depression all through adulthood until it became unbearable. Neither medication nor talk could penetrate the growing darkness. My bitterness threatened my marriage and fueled self-destructive behavior. I came to hate myself. Some little light I was. Ah. Fortunately, that is not the end of my story. In future episodes, I find the right pill, discover the true meaning of my little light, experience what it is to be loved, and convince the Presbyterian Church of my continued call to ministry. In my work, I'm often asked, how can I understand people who are transgender? And I think this is an honest question from people who truly want to be allies, to be helpful. The first suggestion that I have is to stop being afraid. There's really nothing that you can say to a transgender person that they probably haven't heard already. And if it does hurt them, it will only be a second or two. They'll probably tell you that they were offended and you can talk about it, and then you'll get through it. Think of how much better that is than just simply separating yourself from them, not talking, pretending that they don't even exist, just so you can avoid that 1 second of discomfort. Don't do that. Be an ally and a friend. The second thing you can do is to get to know people who are transgender and gender nonconforming. That's the most important thing you can do. Everybody hears our stories, the sensational ones about sex changes and operations. People, you know, women with beards and hairy men in women's restrooms. Those horror stories that fill the news and that opponents tend to like as a way of making us strange and different. The fact is, we're pretty much the same as you. We have lives. We get up in the morning and we wonder about our day. We worry about things. There's stuff in our lives that we look forward to that doesn't have anything to do with gender. The fact is that going through a gender transition for a transgender person relieves them of having to think about gender at all. For decades, it was a major concern of every day of my life. I worried about it. I wondered about it. I wished about it. I thought about it. The wonderful thing about my transition was that I got to stop thinking about it just like everybody else. Nobody gets up in the morning and wonders about their gender unless you happen to be transgender. So please, stay with us, because this podcast is about so much more than simply gender. I want you to get to know me, but that's the smallest part. I want you to get to know many, many other people who are kind of special in the sense that they're transgender or gender nonconforming, but they are people who have put that behind them and are living lives that are full and rich, and they have stories to tell that will bring you great joy and inspire you. So please, please stay with us. Thank you so much for Odetta, for her beautiful, beautiful voice and her incredible, strong spirit. She's an inspiration to all of us. Thank you. If you have questions or comments about this episode or any episode of So Much More Than Gender, please get in touch with us at somuchmore@erinswenson.com. That is so much more at erinswenson.com. Thank you.